If you have your Bibles or Old Testaments, I would encourage you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 56th Psalm. As I mentioned earlier, this is the second anniversary of having moved online, and we've appreciated that extended ministry that God has given to us, the church. So 2 years ago on this particular Sunday was the very first online service. Our church was shut down. We could not meet, and so we borrowed the chapel at Kentucky Mountain Bible College, and I preached a message that I decided I would preach that same message again today. Okay? Little different situation, but some of the very same kind of concerns. Uncertainty, unknown, fear, possible death. What in the world is going on in our world right now? We are watching the situation in the Ukraine, praying that World War III will not erupt. We do not know the kinds of things that will result out of this. We're praying for a quick and speedy resolution, but as time goes on, things don't look like that, and looks like the Russians are going to use even more force and more tragedy that is going to occur there. I know when Brother James said to me this morning about being in Ireland and about the situation in Ukraine, I said, I checked ahead of time. Ukraine was 1,500 miles away from where we were. I know. That's correct, and when you think about it, that's only halfway across the United States. And the world is much smaller now than it used to be. I know physically it's the same. But the interconnectedness of all of this with social media and all of those kinds of things, and of course we're impressed with the images and concerned about the situations that are happening there and how this is going to expand. And it's already affecting us. You've noticed the gasoline prices and different things that could happen. And we wonder what in the world is going to happen going forward. Now, 2 years ago, I was saying the same thing about COVID. And here we are 2 years later, and now we read the report that there is a new strain of COVID that has come about and that it is 20 times more contagious than the original coronavirus. In fact, the report I was reading says that they expect everybody will get it. That's encouraging, isn't it? And so here we've been dealing with this for 2 years, and it's caused all kinds of disruptions. There are people who have lost their jobs. There are people now, you know, the tensions that are out there right now because of the situation. We wonder, what in the world going forward, how is this going to continue to affect our society and our own individual lives? And what are we going to do in the midst of this? And what does it mean for my family? There was another one who faced a similar kind of situation. His name was David. We know the account in the Bible. David, of course, probably one of the most well-known things is when he killed Goliath. But the relationship between King Saul and David had deteriorated greatly. Yes, David had killed Goliath and become a champion of Israel. And David already knew that he had been chosen to be the next king of Israel. He tried to faithfully serve King Saul, but Saul became jealous. Jealous of his popularity. Jealous of the realization that he would become the next leader. And so the Bible tells us that Saul was trying to figure out how to kill David. After all the positive things that he had done and all the good things that he had done and the victory that he brought for Israel, and here's the king of Israel trying to figure out how to kill him. He even encouraged his servants to kill David. David was married to Michal, who was Saul's daughter. And at one point, she had to help her husband escape from her own father. Talk about in-law problems. Finally, it became so obvious that if David was going to live, he was going to have to leave the country. And so he fled from home. Now he was a part of a displaced population. David lost his job. That creates questions about one's financial future. David was quarantined away from his wife and family, a separation he couldn't visit his loved ones and friends. David was afraid that he was going to die. He was humiliated. He had to act like, at one point, he had to act like an insane person in order to preserve his life. And David had no idea how long this was going to go on. You know, it was like, it'll take 2 weeks to calm Saul's anger. But it was a whole lot longer than 2 weeks to flatten that curve. And now it's not looking like a temporary situation. Where was God? Remember when the preacher came to his house and singled him out for public service and said that he would be the next king? God said so. You remember how God protected him when he was out taking care of the sheep, doing his job? You remember how God changed a bad situation? His name was Goliath. And rewarded David's faith. And Goliath died. You remember how David got a new job? Because he knew how to play the harp. And he was skilled. Talented. Then you remember that how David had the joy of marrying a woman who really loved him. And cared about him. You remember how God had helped him become a great military leader with wisdom and skill. But now, it's like he's a complete failure. Homeless, jobless, friendless, and having to act mindless. Where is God? Where are his promises? Now what? David's at a crossroads. Will he give up on God? Will he decide that it is all hopeless? Friend, I don't know what your situation may be in the midst of all of this, and we don't know what's going to happen this week. We continue to watch the news to see what's going to happen in Ukraine, whether this mess is going to spread, how life will be disrupted for us, what kind of confusion may be the result of it, and how this will affect our jobs and our economic situation and the bills that we have to pay and those kinds of things. But I want to remind you this morning that God is in control. And God has your future. You can trust the Lord. And you can trust the Lord in the midst of this difficult situation. There are three truths that help us to understand that this morning, that we can trust God in tough times. And I want to go to this psalm, which we are turning to, Psalm 56. This psalm was written by David when he was in the midst of this mess in Gath. He writes, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who would fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps when they lie in wait for my life," literally. "Shall they escape my iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Three truths I want us to notice here. The first one is this: your feelings are legitimate. David expressed his before the Lord. Look at how he expressed himself to God in prayer. Well, the first thing he said, very first verse there, he was frustrated. Things were not going according to plan. The truth of the matter was he was not winning here. He was losing, and it appeared to be getting worse. Not only that, he was tired, the Bible tells us in verse 2. They hound me all day long, no rest, and there's no end in sight. I'm not seeing better days ahead. I'm not seeing how this is going to work out, and it's overwhelming. Verse 2, he says, there are many who fight against me. All kinds of opposition, each seeming to use some kind of different approach, and then all coming in all at once. You ever been in that kind of situation where you get into a situation and just one thing and another thing, and before you can solve one, the other is there? Overwhelmed by it, and he was, and of course it resulted in fear, as we read in verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, well, that was an admission of the fact that he was afraid. He faced fear, the uncertainty, the lack of control. Verse 6, they're trying to lie and wait for his life. They're trying to kill him, and he's aware of it. Confusion, verse 5, all day they twist my words. They take what he has tried to say, and they turn it around it and use it for evil. Have you ever had people do that to you? And some people get so many things so mixed up and misunderstood, and wild ideas that are floating around and all kinds of stuff, accused of things that are not true. Have you ever been in that situation where you've been accused of things that are not true? You're trying to do what is right. You're trying to move forward and do the will of God, and people have twisted it and confused the situation against you. Brought him to a point of desperation. Verse 6, they mark his steps. The situation is out of control, and it's going to get him. There's nothing wrong with us admitting our feelings when we get in difficult spots. And the situation and realization that we don't have things under control. There are things that are out of control. And we feel these very same things. But I want to remind you, the second truth is this. Your faith is your choice. Very clear in the scripture here. How did David respond to this desperate situation? Here's the first thing he said. I will trust in God. It's a decision that he was making. Whenever I'm afraid, verse 3, I will trust God. In you. He took that kind of a stand. He had decided that he will trust God in the midst of this difficult mess and difficult situation. Not only that, he said, I will praise. Here's the decision he's made. I will trust in God and I will praise him. Praise his word. This is so important that it is basically repeated almost the same in verses 11 and 12. In God, verses 10 and 11, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? When things are repeated like this in Scripture, it's because it's important. It's something that we need to grab a hold of as well. And here's how it goes. It's not necessarily that David felt like trusting God. Life was out of control. He's in a mess of a situation. He chose to trust God. And you know, friend, we may not feel like trusting God, but our faith is not located in our feelings. It is located in our choice to trust God. And we can do that no matter how we feel. So how are you feeling right now? However we're feeling, we can choose to trust God. The same thing, we may not feel like praising God. We might be in a situation where we're so overwhelmed by all of these negative things that are happening or going on around us, and it can be very easy for us to see all of that. But we can make the choice to praise God. We can make the choice to decide that we're going to praise Him for who He is, and thank Him for the blessings that He brings to us in the midst of those trials and tribulations. I was reading a number of months ago about some of the training that they give to the members of the U.S. military if they are caught and become POWs. How should they respond? What should they do? One of the things that they teach them to do, and I found this so intriguing, was to note the things they can be thankful for. And I thought, you know, that sounds biblical. But even the United States military has recognized how effective it is for us to choose to praise and to choose to thank God. What is our situation? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You may say, well, preacher, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, it's like the man in the Bible came to Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. There's nothing wrong with coming to the Lord and saying, I feel so weak in the midst of this, Lord. I don't feel in control. I don't feel what that kind of thing, but I choose to believe You. Lord, will You help my faith? The Bible doesn't say that we have to have great faith in God. The Bible says we have to have faith in a great God. Even the faith of a mustard seed. We choose to trust, we choose to praise. The third truth is this, and that is your foundation is sure. David reminds us of that in this psalm. God knows where you are. In verse 8, you number my wanderings. The Lord knows where you are. The Lord knows your situation. The Lord knows when you cry, as he says, you have put my tears into your bottle. You know about it. Here's David crying for the situation that he was in, but God knows that. God knows how you feel. God knows your concern, and God hears you when you pray. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, when I cry out to him. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible. God is for you. This I know, because God is for me. You know, when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have put our faith in Him, and we have connected ourselves to Him, and He is connected to us. I want to remind you of something. He is more concerned about your successful salvation than you are. And He has way more invested in it than you do. Amen. He is the author and finisher of our faith. His desire is to take you all the way through. The enemy will try to get us to think that somehow the Lord is just watching for us to slip up, mess up, do whatever, and then going to kick us out and somehow going to put us down and all that kind of thing. No, our Lord Jesus loves you, cares about you, and it is His desire to make sure that you make it all the way through. God is for you. Praise the Lord. We thank Him for that great truth. That's not all. He delivers your soul. Verse 13, as David points it out, for you have delivered my soul from death. This is the most important thing in life, and that is how we die. Everybody's going to at some point. But what matters is if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and we are ready to meet Him and to see Him face to face, to know that we are delivered from an eternal hell. Our salvation is sure in Christ, and we thank the Lord for that. In the first chapter of Ephesians, we read a whole bunch of in Him. So just as He chose us, in Him. Thank the Lord in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Over and over again, we are reminded that we are in Christ. And Christ is in you, the hope of glory. But that's not all. It is He, God who keeps us from falling. Verse 13, as he tells us there, you've delivered my soul from death, you've kept my feet from falling. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Jude tells us, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He can keep you from falling, and he'll keep you walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message which you've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, we're lying, and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All the way, my Savior leads me, and he leads you as well. Yes, you can trust the Lord. No matter what the situation is, it's not too difficult for him. God is for you, and he will walk with you. He will walk with us during these days of uncertainty as we go forward one day at a time. As the author and finisher of our faith, we choose to trust him. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. We choose to praise him, praise his word, to thank him for the blessings that come our way. Well, I just want to remind you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you're missing that hope. You're missing those promises. No better time to accept Jesus as your personal Savior than right now. If you're watching online and want to make that decision, please contact me, email me, PastorTom@FiveMileChurch.org, or even through the messaging here on Facebook. Be glad to help you know Jesus as your personal Savior. We're walking with him. Anyone here who does not know the Lord, no better time than right now to make him our Savior. To, like David, determine to trust him and praise him. He wrote a psalm. Maybe you could write, well, maybe not a psalm that won't get in the Bible. Maybe you could write a poem. Maybe you could write a statement, text, maybe a message, some kind of thing. David wrote a psalm that ended up coming to us. I wonder if you could write a message to somebody of encouragement, perhaps an email, text, whatever. Maybe call. Could it be that there's somebody today that could be encouraged by your words to walk, to trust, and to praise? Let's stand. I want to thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Those of us who have gathered together here in person, those of us who have gathered online, and we don't know what we're facing going forward. Some of us have already faced some really tough times and difficult situations, but you're faithful. And we are putting our trust in you. We're choosing to walk with you and to follow you as you lead us and guide us day by day, step by step. Our confidence is in you. And we're going to praise you, Lord. So I pray even now for that one who's struggling with how they're feeling right now and the discouragement and the negative things and all those kinds. I pray, Lord, you'd help them to make the decision that they're going to look for the blessings. They're going to look for your hand. And they're going to praise you for your word. And then, Lord, is there somebody that we could encourage? Maybe shoot them an email, send them a text or message. Call them on the phone and tell them God's got it and he's for you and you'll make it through. Lord, is there a name that you would impress on our hearts right now even that we should contact this week and encourage them? And may we as the body of Christ be found together as those who encourage one another as we walk this road together. And I pray for your blessing and your grace on each one here. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.